those places that you have not fully filled our lives, Lord. We've not allowed you to do that. We're lost in those places.
Yes.
We're hollow and empty in those areas, Lord. Touch us today through your word.
Yes.
Move on our in this place. Move like you haven't done ever, because today the message that you've given me, for your people, it's going to be tough. And we want to hear from you today.
Yes.
It's not new, but touch us afresh and anew today.
Yes.
Not with anything, but encouragement and direction. Lift our souls and lift our spirits today. Not so that we can be greater people, but so that we can be greater people for you.
Yes.
Yes.
We love you, Lord, with all of our hearts. Let our ears be open, our hearts be tender today. And when we're through, we're going to walk out of here stronger and more determined than ever in our entire lives.
Amen.
We do this, say it by faith, and we confirm it by agreeing in Jesus' name. Everybody that agrees says amen.
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 You may be seated. Hallelujah. Praise your Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, while we're getting around, everybody get their Bibles out. You've already confirmed by your word this morning that you're going to listen and you're going to obey.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You could not listen to anything better. You could not obey anything except the word.
Amen.
Let me say it again. Don't ever obey anything except the word. No matter who says what, never obey anything except the word.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right, are we ready? All right, if you remember last week, and if you don't, weren't here last week, I suggest that you get that tape, because you won't fully understand or comprehend this one without that one. But most people would describe last week's message as a love message. I would say last week's message was a soft message for the message today, which is truly the love message. Because love is not soft.
That's right.
Love is hard. It's tough. Strong. Last week, we talked about without faith it is impossible to please God. The title of the message being, Believe It, God Loves You.
Amen.
Well, the title is the same today. Without faith it is impossible to please God. But the title is, Believe It, God Has Offered the Best for You.
Amen.
Now, how many of you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that sometimes what's best for you, you don't always love?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll be the first to admit that. Whatever's best for you, we don't always love. It's easy to move into the low realm. God loves me so much that he gave his only begotten son. Oh, really? Okay. I like that one too. So let's read it. John 3:16. I want you to read it, and then you can just... John 3:16. All right. Why don't you stand with me in honor of the word? And this time I'm going to read John 3:16 through 19. That's the ending. That's my ending, so I'm going to preach the end, and then we'll go back to the beginning. For God so loved the world that he gave. So now we have a pattern for love, right? It's giving. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, or the most valuable thing to him, that whosoever or whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, why did God give his best? So we would not perish. If you do not perish, you automatically have everlasting life.
That's right.
Amen.
Okay. Verse 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. So when we read his word, no, there's never condemnation, right?
Amen.
All right. He did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. What was his purpose for visiting this earth? Safe. Saved. 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 He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. I want to remind you today that the name is not Jesus. The name is a character.
Amen.
It's what he came to do and what he accomplished. That's his name.
Yes.
Because there's a lot of Jesuses or Jesuses in this world that aren't, they're just not valuable. I don't believe on them. And this is the condemnation. How do you know you're walking in condemnation? This is it. That the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were not light. They were evil.
Yes.
All right, y'all may be seated. Now, how do we know that we are walking condemned? When we don't walk in the Word.
Yes.
That's such a simple statement. You know how huge that is?
Yes.
We know that we're condemned when we don't walk in the Word being Jesus. Whatever He said, whatever He stood for, His Father, whatever He said, whatever He stood for, whatever He said, that's what the Word is. Now, the Bible says that you're not to take away from or add to.
Amen.
You know what that means? It means nobody cares about your interpretation. And don't try it, because the rest of that is you're going to get in serious trouble. Now, I want to remind you, I said that to say this. Those areas that in our lives that we feel like are walking condemnation. Now, what do I mean by that? Those areas that we feel are already condemned to failure. We just can't get over them. No matter what we try to do, they're bad. Maybe we need to just recognize in our lives that that is an area of condemnation, and we need to quit walking in that condemnation. We need to begin to walk in Word that runs off that condemnation, our light that drives away the condemnation.
Amen.
Condemnation in the text today does not mean you're condemned to hell. I don't know anybody in here that's condemned to hell. So we're not talking about that. What we're talking about is condemned to walk in this nasty until we start walking in the light.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Come on. Think about that for a second. I don't care what the problem is in your life. I don't care what it is that you have not overcome yet. That area is condemned, and you need to start applying so much light into it that condemnation is run off.
Amen.
And God so loved the world that He sent His Son to take care of that. Isn't that what He said? So that you are doomed, if you like that word, are destined to everlasting life so that you do not perish. Not totally perish to hell, or not even perish in certain parts of your life.
Amen.
Amen. Good.
Come on, y'all need to move into that, because I'm not worried about y'all going to hell tonight, today. Y'all took care of that last week. I know you did. So nobody in here, we're talking about going to hell. We're talking about those areas that you've not yet overcome that God Himself, through Jesus Christ, His Son, has already overcome. And we need to move into that light.
Yes.
Or let that light move into us is the proper way.
Yeah.
All right. We covered last week about what creeps into... Let me tell you a little story that happened to me this morning. Holy Spirit always uses some of the strangest things to minister to me. So you have to suffer through it. I got up this morning, dark room. Especially when I know that I'm going to get up for everybody else, I lay my clothes out here, my shoes out here, my glasses over here. If I know where they are tonight, I'll know where they are in the morning.
Amen.
And I don't need to see, I know, which is another message I'd like to preach to you. Had a wise man tell me one time, you never make a profit by selling, you only make it by buying. And so what I just said to you is you always know where you're going if you stop in the right place. Now, I got up, and I grabbed my britches and my shirt, and I went over there, and it's dark on the floor, and I tried to put my foot in the house shoe, and it was the wrong house shoe. And I felt around. I couldn't find that in the crazy house shoe. Since I have this wonderful power of deduction, I said, well, I'll just put my foot in this one and move it, and then I'll find the other one, the wrong one. Wrong foot and the wrong shoe. So I put it on, and sure enough, there it is. So I said, I'm not going to change now. I'll change when I get in the light. Anyway. See how many messages are in my message? So I'm walking off with one toe pointing this way and one toe pointing this way. And I'm walking around, and I need to go to the bathroom, so I'm not going to fool around with the shoes right now. So I go to the bathroom, and then I got to get the lights on. Man, I got to get that computer out, and I'm walking around with the wrong shoe and the wrong foot. And I realize it's getting comfortable. It's not bothering me at all. I thought, you know, I've seen kids do that, and they don't even notice it. Now I'm beginning to understand, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit said, Stan, wrong shoe and the wrong foot. Comfortable or no? Are you listening to me?
Yeah. Yeah.
Comfortable or not, wrong shoe and the wrong foot, it's not right.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, boom, I got those shoes changed. I don't care if it's comfortable or not. Could I have continued the way it was? Absolutely. Should I have? No. No, you don't do the wrong thing because it feels good or it's okay. You do the right thing because that's the right thing.
Amen.
That's right.
Now, see how God ministers to me? You guys think that I have something to give to you, but I get up to give, right? Then I can give. All right. Here's what we get comfortable in. We get used to the news telling us tomorrow's uncertain.
Yeah.
I heard so much this week, last week, on the news that the Democratic Party had so much control. They're going to pass a resolution that condemned the movement of more troops into Iraq. Everybody in the whole world assumed that was going to happen, and they had a vote on it. It didn't happen. They couldn't get enough votes to have it happen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I don't care about your opinion about where we should have more troops or not more troops. Our leader says we need more troops. You say yes and amen.
That's right.
That's how the word gets into you. You start honoring somebody else besides you in your opinion.
That's right.
Okay. We get used to the Farmer's Almanac saying to you that you're going to have one more huge storm in Denver. It says that. You know that? No, it didn't say one more. It said you're going to have a huge storm, which didn't count the last one. So you read that and you say, uh-oh, I'm going to prepare for the huge storm. When the Bible says, anybody says this mountain be removed, cast to sea, and does not doubt in his heart, he'll have what he says. So what you're getting used to is every circumstance, every situation, every voice negating the Word of God, which says that you are in control, not their words.
Amen.
Right? And we get comfortable with that. It's flu season. I've got to get a flu shot. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son that I should... Hey, did you forget that one? How easy is it for the Word of God to be trampled under a foot by a word from a man with a title? I condensed that real fast. Your ears should be directed towards those things of God. And you should be casting down any other vain imagination that is not from God.
Man.
Did you know that I have never in my entire life ever heard God say, flu season has come and get a shot?
That's right.
So if something in me says, I better get a shot, it must be an imagination, because a vain imagination, because it didn't come from the mouth of God.
Amen.
That's right.
Now put anything in there you want to. Interest rates going up, interest rates going down, credit this. It doesn't make any difference what you've heard in your life. If you will hear the Word of God enough, you will stop hearing other things.
That's right. Hallelujah.
Now I'm going to read to you another thing. And I want you to turn there. I want you to look at this, and I'm going to point out key words I want you to notice that you'll never forget this. John 3, this is before 16. This is John 3, verse 1 through 6. Are you there? There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. One was full of the Word, one was the Word. Right? How many people do you know that are full of the Word, but they're not the Word? How many of you wish that you were more the Word instead of full of the Word? See, here's the danger. There, to many people that you run across, you're the Word. So you need to check what you're full of.
Amen.
Okay? Somebody may be looking to you for an answer and you don't even know about it. So be full of the Word. Don't be full of anything else.
Yes.
All right. Jesus answered him and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What you need to do is in that Bible, or underline that word see. Because it's the first step. It's tied to born again. When you're born again, you begin to see the kingdom of God. Now, when I go into a room of chocolates, which is better, to see or to enter in? Right? It says, unless he's born again, he can't even see. So this room of chocolate that's available, until I get born again, I can't even see it. So I can't even recognize there is a promise. I can't see a promise. I can't realize that there is even a promise until I'm born again.
That's right.
Let's go on. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter into a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now I've underlined enter because Nobody wants to stand and look at the goodies. Let's get it on. Let's get with these goodies. Two things here. You don't even know there's a promise unless you get born again. And you can't enter into the promise unless you're born of the Spirit. Two separate things. Not one. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. How are you going to enter into the promises of God? Since promises of God are spirit, you cannot enter into the promises without His Spirit showing you and pushing you. Let's put it easily.
Amen. Amen.
Now, what are the things of the Spirit? Everything that pertains to life and godliness.
Yes.
Everything that pertains to life and godliness, right?
Right.
All right. The Spirit is going to offer you up everything that pertains to life and godliness today. And you need to decide where you're going to enter in. How many of you have enough faith today? I can look at that two ways. I can look at it Harry's way and I can look at it Bill's way. Because they both had separate answers. God has given you a measure of faith, which the Bible describes as more than enough. That's one way to look at it, and that's the truth. The other part of the truth is the flesh is not obeying, so I don't have enough faith to overcome the flesh. At least I have it, but I haven't used it. Okay? So I am, you might say that I'm a man of faith, but I'm not going to where, or I have not been yet where I want to go.
Amen.
In faith. Okay? What is faith? Well, it covers an area about 10 times bigger than the size of the earth. And if you really want to know that, then just get on your concordance, look at the word faith, and see how many places it leads you in the Word. It'll take you a great amount of time to study it, because without faith it is impossible to please God. So He gives you many descriptions, definitions of how to please Him. One of the absolute truths I want to put you down with, I want you to remember this, as your spirit, your flesh man rises up against what I say today or what the Spirit says, I want you to put it down with some truths. One of them is this. An argument doesn't stand a chance against truth.
That's right.
Yeah.
Two. Agreement against truth will always fall. I've taught you over and over that agreement is all powerful, but it isn't unless it's agreement in the Word.
Yes.
I've always taught you that the prayer of agreement is the most powerful thing on the face of the earth. But the prayer of agreement must be based on the promises of God, yes. Not on two people's opinions.
Yes.
You got it?
Yes.
You can't round up 5 or 10 people and have them agree with you that it's all right to murder somebody and say, but we're in agreement. It's not going to work.
That's right.
Say it all you want to, but it won't work. Definition of faith. The correct word is pistis. It means something that you're totally persuaded in. You're so totally persuaded, it becomes your moral conviction.
Yes.
A moral conviction. If in your life you don't have some hardcore, strong moral convictions, you don't have an ounce of faith. I don't care what you say. Being born again is not faith. Being born again is allowed to see faith.
Amen.
Faith is what enters you into the kingdom.
Yes.
The definition of faith is the reliance in your life that's based on your total dependence on Christ for your salvation.
Yes.
Not on Christ, but on Christ for your salvation. Salvation not meaning born again. It means total salvation. Okay? In the Christian community, with our Christian ease that we use, we get in little paths sometimes. And it's not good enough to be born again. It's just not good enough. In fact, everything I can study, you won't make it being born again. You won't make it. You won't make it to heaven being born again. You got to move into the spirit realm.
Yes.
Or there's not enough power in you to maintain the walk.
That's right.
You will, what the old timers used to call, backslide. You'll go backwards and you'll lose your salvation. Don't throw anything at me. But I can prove to you that's possible. I'm going to give you a couple of scriptural definitions. Hebrews 11, 1 through 3 is, now faith is a substance of things hoped for. That substance, something you can touch, of things hoped for. Now, faith is you being able to touch what you can't see, but you're hoping for. Now, this is a perfect definition of seeing but not entering in, or seeing and entering in, depends on what you're looking at. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. the evidence of things not yet seen. Now, wait a minute. Evidence of things not yet seen. What's evidence to you? Something I can show to you, right? But I haven't yet seen it. What we're saying here is that because you're born again, because you're filled with the Holy Spirit, and faith is acting and interacting into you, you have already begun to walk and touch and feel and live in things, living in things that are not yet even possible to touch, feel, and live in. And yet it's real. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. So anybody that tells you that there's a Big Bang Theory, your faith gets mad and says, how can you be so deceived? They think you're deceived. You know they're deceived.
Yes.
There's a good walking definition of faith. They think you're deceived. You know they are. So the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Things that are seen are made by things that are not visible. So the things in your life that you fully intend to see, you're going to make them with things that are not visible.
Yep.
That's your assignment. That's God's assignment to every Christian, as to make the things that you can't see visible with things that you can't see.
That's right.
Mark 11, 22, 23, 24. I can see a mountain, but I'm fixing to not see the mountain. How? Well, you can't see my words, but you can listen. Mountain, be cast into the sea. Now what's my assignment? Don't doubt that it's cast into the sea. Not one. If that doubt comes up in you, you cast it down with truth.
Yep.
It says you'll have what you believe.
Yes.
So you got to watch your believer.
Yes.
You got to guard your believer. Because words of man will steal your belief. They'll steal your moral conviction. They'll steal your faith.
Yes.
Right. Your own words, your own body will attempt to steal your faith.
Yes.
Faith in God and what has been offered to us and provided for us is our salvation in life. That means everything that God has done. Start Genesis 1:1, end in Revelation, the last verse. And everything in there, listen to me, as you read the Bible, will describe to you what God has done for you and provided for you.
Amen.
Every bit of it. Starting with, I'm going to make a world to where it looks good and acts good and functions good for the people that I'm fixing to make and put on it. Was God doing fine without the earth? He was, wasn't he? So he didn't need to correct the earth to do fine.
That's right.
But he said, you know what? I think I'm going to create some people. But I want it to be good for them, so I got to recreate the earth. Come on, who are you in Christ? Are you important enough that God will recreate the whole world for you?
Yes.
Okay, that's a good place to start. Then he said, look, I give you dominion over this thing that I've created. I give you dominion. All you have to do is enjoy it. Rule over it. See, here's the thing. You must rule over you to enjoy you.
Yep.
You got to.
Yes.
If you don't rule over you, which God has given dominion of, you will never enjoy you. And I got some further news. If you can't enjoy you, you will never enjoy life or anybody else.
Yep.
Here's another one. Here's a definition for this message. Faith in any other provision or solution is antichrist.
Mm-hmm.
Now you want to fight? Because it goes uphill from here. Faith in any other provision, anything that you can do, anything anybody else can do, is antichrist.
That's right.
You know what my assignment on this earth is? To believe God.
Yes.
You know what the hardest work I've ever had to do, Harry? It's believe God. You know what my full-time solution in this earth is? To believe God. From the minute I wake up to the minute I go to sleep, and while I'm asleep, and you might say unconscious, I still have to go to sleep believing God so I know where I'll wake up.
Amen.
Right.
No terror by night will overcome me.
Amen.
That's my last word to myself when I go to bed. No terror by night will overtake me.
Amen.
Why? Because that's God's word. If I say it, it's my word. God's word does not overtake me. I overtake the provisions of God by God's word.
Amen.
Have I said enough, or would you like for me to say some more?
Keep going.
I'm telling you, I'm giving you the secrets to life and happiness. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing this to you. Offered up a tremendous offering to you today. At my peril, you might add. But that God doesn't worry about my peril, so I don't worry about my peril. I'm taken care of. But I promise you, if you want a better life, if you want things to go better, you're going to move into this message today stronger than you ever had before. Otherwise, you're going to move downhill and away from God. You cannot move away from God's promises and not move away from God.
That's right. Yeah.
Where does faith come from? And do all have it? Romans 12:3 says, "For I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." That means judge yourself righteously. "But to think soberly." That means stop listening to soap operas, cartoons, listen to real life. "As God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." Should everybody be operating on the same level of faith? Probably not. Should everybody be totally dependent upon God? Absolutely so. Can everybody speak? Is everybody called to be a speaker?
No.
Can everybody teach? But is everybody called to be a teacher? You understand where I'm coming from? Faith has to be 100% real in your life and you have to operate on it. But it doesn't mean that you have the same measure of faith as a man that's supposed to go out and teach faith. I can promise you, if you think you're to teach faith, then what God's going to do is challenge you in that area very strongly. And you're going to have to stand very strong in faith. And some of you already know my testimonies, and you know I have the right. You know God has earned me the right to speak to you on this subject.
Yeah.
From birth, haven't even told you about some of that, until this day. God requires me to operate in as much faith as anybody I've ever seen in my life. I didn't say I'd seen everybody. I just said everybody I'd seen. Why? Because He requires of me to teach faith very strong. So, to do that, faith must be very strong and proven in my life. So that no question and no argument will ever stand against my testimony.
Amen.
If I need a... What did David... When David stood in the shadow of a giant that could have killed him, squashed him like a bug, what did he rely on? Testimony.
Yep.
So the bigger the fight, the bigger the testimony, right?
Yep.
You need it to rely on. You never get a testimony without a test.
That's right.
You can't have the ammoni without the test. Doesn't work. Can faith grow?
Yeah.
2 Corinthians 10:15. "Not boasting of things beyond measure, that is, in other men's labors, but having hope that as your faith is increased, we shall be greatly enlarged by you in our sphere." Now, you got two spectrums here. But the whole idea of you increasing in faith is so that your faith can increase in your circle of influence. So it's still about others, isn't it? It's still about others. You're going to get the increase. But the kingdom's going to get the increase also.
Amen.
Romans 10:17 says this. "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Or hearing the word of God. Anybody in here want their faith increased?
Yes.
Then listen. Breathe it in. Let the Holy Spirit just, even if it's uncomfortable, massage and work you. Because I want my faith increased. I testify to you right now, I want my faith increased.
Yeah.
Man.
Desire of my heart, I want my faith increased. Because I happen to know that pertains to all life and godliness. Why is faith so important? Ephesians 4:11-15 says this. "And he gave him, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, for the equipping of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ." Why is faith so important? Equipping, edifying, for the work. You know what that means? You're not going to really do a work of God unless you've really done a work of faith. Those people that were the deepest in sin, when they get born again, they have the greatest testimony. You want to be moved by somebody, you find somebody that was deep down in sin. And they get born again, you're going to get moved by their testimony. I don't care if you've heard it 100 times.
Yes.
This is the work of faith. It's not just about you, it's also for the edification, the growing and the work of the kingdom. Till we all come to the unity of the faith. Now, most teachers say that means our basic belief system. Well, we need to find out what our basic belief system is. If it's not based on the promises and the works of God, we have no faith.
That's right.
If it doesn't include me in the work, then who in the world are you serving and what are you serving? Let me go one step further. Any individual, you, right here, right now, if what God did doesn't apply to you, He didn't do it. If He wouldn't have done it for just Him, He's not a just God. If nobody else in the face of the earth would have ever been born but me, He would have done everything He did for me. Now, if I can boil that down right here, right now, and get real and comfortable in that, then guess what? Now I'm able to minister.
Amen.
But if it hasn't touched me, if it isn't about me, then it can't be about you. I don't have anything to give it away. I don't have anything to give away.
Yes.
That's it.
Faith has touched me. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Not just faith, but the knowledge of the Son of God. That means I believe that everything He said is true. I believe that everything He said was backed by the Father, the Creator of the entire universe. I believe He never made a mistake.
Yeah.
Here's what faith and the knowledge of the Son of God brings you to a perfect man. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I can never be full of Christ until I'm full of faith.
Right. Yes.
That we should no longer, here's what faith does. That we should no longer be children. You don't want to be a child anymore. You don't want people looking at you like immature. Become strong in faith. So we won't be tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, grow up in all things unto Him who is the head, Christ. The trickery of men. 33 years ago, the scientific community published a document, and they had decided that we were going to enter into an ice age. 33 years later, they get together and they publish a document that we're going to perish because of global warming. Who is deceived? They were deceived when we were going to die from ice. They're deceived when we're going to die from warming. God has the temperature control in His fingers. He didn't lose it.
That's right.
I have faith in that. I do not have faith in cunning deceit with a title on it.
Yes. Amen.
Somebody that you all know and I know in your heart really love. I was talking to not too long ago, and he began to tell me that since he's pulled away from church, he realizes that his ministry is greater, especially since he realized that tithe was not real. And he's going on, and I said, "Hey, who do you think you're talking to? Some dummy that doesn't know the word? You're speaking anti-word, which is anti-Christ, and I refuse to listen to this nonsense. Are you bold in faith? Are you going to be deceived by a title, the title of a prophet, priest, or king? When we're full of faith, we're going to be speaking the truth in love. We're going to grow up, and we'll grow others up into the head, which is Christ."
Yes.
2 Peter 1 through 4 says this. 2 Peter 1, 1 through 4 says this. To those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you. Have you ever read that like that before? To those that believe like we do, grace and peace be multiplied to you. Everybody else? Well, you know why he can say that? Because he happens to know it's the only way you're going to get grace and peace is through faith.
Right. Amen.
As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him, that's how we're going to get life and godliness, knowledge of Him, not knowledge of us, not knowledge of others, who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Lust. What does lust mean? I want what I want when I want it. I was watching some special the other day on television about all this, let's call it augmentation, the plastic surgery and all this stuff that's supposed to make women beautiful. Most of it was failures after age. But there was this one young lady, the guy had, he had a decent business providing income, and the wife decided she wanted lip augmentation, breast augmentation, she wanted this surgery and that surgery, and he was already $55,000 in debt because of plastic surgery, and she comes up with another $50,000 surgery. And he said, what do you want me to do? It was on television. What do you want me to do? You want me to go get a second job? Is there ever an end to this? It didn't shake her. She said, but I want it. This is lusts of the world. She actually, the lust of this world, had actually thought, she's been convinced that she has the right to look at her husband and say, I don't care what you want, I want it. And I don't care how much it costs, if it ruins this whole family, I want it. Instead of righteous understanding, which said, I'm what God did, I am what God did, and I still am what God did, and if he's not satisfied, he can change me, but nobody else can.
Amen.
I've given God to augment me any, wants to, any way he wants to, but nobody else.
Amen.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm surely not going to understand with sound doctrine and wisdom, like, what do you want me to do? Go get another job. I'm going to give you some statements of truth that we need to work at. We need to work at knowing these things. We need to work at doing these things. We need to work at some good old common sense that God gives us. Everybody pretty much knows, you always call me Frank. Not my name, but you do that because most of the time I take this mass amount of words and I boil it down to a few and make sense out of it. That's what common sense does. Common sense doesn't need a lot of words to describe a simple problem. Usually a very simple solution applies to a very simple problem. And that takes, 30 seconds and a decision. Listen. God is the Creator. Anything that argues with that fact is a liar, and it's Antichrist.
Yes.
Right. God is the Creator. God is my Creator. Yes. And whether you believe it or not, He's your Creator.
That's right.
He's the Creator of all things. Therefore, He has the solution to all things.
Yes.
Harry, if you manufactured an automobile with your hands, how long would it take for you to answer my question about a car? Probably give me the solution just like that, right? Well, that's the way God is. And the good part about that, He's given us the solution before we even know the problem.
Amen.
God is a creator. God is a provider. And here's our stand in that. If it's not from God, I refuse it.
That's right.
Amen.
If it's not from God, I refuse it. Evidently, it wasn't created by Him. It wasn't provided by Him, so I don't want it. God's a healer. God only formed it. Which tells me that the only one that's qualified to fix it is God. Everybody else is in practice.
Yeah, that's right.
God's the Alpha and the Omega. Which means to me is I must let Him start and finish everything that touches me. And I got some news for you. That's enough.
Yes.
He doesn't need help. Okay. I didn't hear an amen on it. How many of you know that God does not need your help or anybody else's help?
Yeah, that's true.
Now, you can argue with me all you want to about using men. That's fine. I don't care if He uses men. That's great. He can send men to help. But God is the author and the finisher. And I will never give a man credit for what God does.
Amen.
Amen.
Right? Chuck goes out here and frames the house. Chuck gets the blame. Chuck gets the credit. You don't see people singling out the individuals that helped him do that.
That's right.
Okay. God's the finisher of faith. We know He's the starter of faith because He gives the measure. But He's the finisher of the faith. We forget that somewhere in life. If He puts that in you, He will finish it.
Yes.
Who will finish it?
God.
He will. All right. He's not just the requirer of faith, by the way.
That's right.
You understand that? What is Him being impressed on me right now to say to you? By the Spirit, therefore, if you will receive it, God now has to finish it.
That's right.
Do I need to say that again? If you really believe that I'm doing this by the Spirit, and I am, then you are hearing things from the Spirit, and you are. Those things that you hear and feel, He is now required to finish in you. If you believe it. Why? Because the author and the finisher. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. Man, y'all are not getting excited about this because that should give you great, great comfort that it's not all up to you. And it's not all up to the guy that you're talking to, whoever that is. He's all in all. You know what that means? It means the same as I. Tell him I. You know what that meant back there? In the King James, there's things like 999. I am. Am is 999. That means it was added so that we could understand what was really said. But when God said, tell him I, that's what he said. Here's your answer. I.
That's right.
That's enough.
Amen.
Could we learn that? Can I suggest to you that all answers are in God? There is no greater word that you can speak than God. There's no greater answer that you can seek than God. And there's no greater faith that you could teach than God.
Amen.
Amen.
He's all powerful. Do you know what that means? That any other power that you're seeing that's not God is anti-God.
That's right.
I hope you believe that because it's the truth.
Yes, sir.
All right. Let me give you some phrases, some things that God gave me. I've, believe it or not, watered these down a little bit. Calm them down a little bit. I didn't say they were easy to handle. I'm just saying I will not say I'm trying to be politically correct because I'm not. These truths will cause you some discomfort. They'll cause it in you and they'll cause it in me because I'm a recipient of all message and word. Please wait for God to explain or me to explain. I may not have it, but God will. Before you become angry, because God loves you.
That's right.
He loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son. He loves you so much that He put these promises in the Bible, and these are based on promise.
Yes.
They're real, they're truth, and they are safe.
Yeah.
I've said this one before, I'll say it again. Any faith, our faith in others helps, is anti-Christ. Faith is not avoiding or fearing truth.
Yeah.
That's right.
Faith has never been avoiding truth or fearing truth. What will you mean by that? Listen to me. I run into people that will not even admit that it's snowing outside because it's anti-faith. Oh, please. Please. That's avoiding the truth. My job is not to avoid truth. For those that say to the mountain, be removed. Well, somebody admitted there was a mountain.
Yeah.
They didn't say, there's no mountain. Be careful how you're acting. Sometimes you can just be stupid. When there's a mountain, you say there's no mountain. Well, what's that thing? Well, that thing is the thing that I just moved into the sea. You can say that, and then you're scriptural based. But please don't act like there's no mountain when there is one. That's just a lie. When you walk in faith, mountains don't cause you fear. That's what that statement says. Faith in truth creates positive feelings. Faith in anything else creates the opposite.
That's right.
You're right.
If I have faith, it says I can change this situation. If I have faith in man, myself, it says this is hopeless. Faith in truth creates positive feelings. Faith is knowing good things are happening and planning for them.
Man.
All right. Draw your toes back. Or get some steel toe. What are you planning for? What are you buying insurance for? What are you expecting? What are you saving up for? See, some people save because that's the thing you ought to do. Some people save for the rainy day. Mm-mm, that's not what you do, because you don't have any rainy days.
Amen.
How do you look at it? Faith is knowing good things are happening and planning for them. What good thing are you planning for today? Are you expecting the worst? What you're preparing for is what you're planning for.
That's right.
Investing your faith in other forms of protection is knowing bad things will happen and planning for them. Faith points and leads to victories. Faith points and leads to victories. Now listen to me. When the guy said, when the Bible said, when Jesus said, to those that see a mountain's not a victory until you speak to it. Now it's a victory. Most people fear some mountain. Because they're planning for the mountain to crush them. Faith causes you to plan and crush our plan to crush the mountain.
Yes.
Amen.
Now tell me if any of these are not scripturally based. We'll debate it. Faith points and leads to victories. Next one. Faith never causes you to plan for failure. Faith never causes you to plan for failure. Faith never causes you to plan for failure. Faith never causes you to expect failure.
That's right.
Right.
Faith knows I can do all things. Not all things can do me.
Amen.
Right.
Faith convinces me that I can do all things. Not all things might do me. Where are you today? Faith says this. Stan, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. And He shall direct your path.
Yes.
Amen.
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 Faith requires you to say that. Faith requires you to say that in the midst of any enemy, in the face of any enemy. Any conflict, whether conflict's in you or in the world, it makes no difference. You know, I never worry about conflicts in the world. I can get my gun, I can shoot straight as anybody can, and just as often. I can get a hammer and I can beat up things that come towards me. I don't worry about my physical abilities. But people, listen to me. Often and soon, choose whichever word you want. You're going to run into something you can't whip. And if you haven't learned to say, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your understanding, in all your ways acknowledge Him and He'll direct your path, that thing is going to get you. You can't buy insurance against enough. There's not enough insurance in the world to protect you from everything. Why do we want to put our faith in insurance? Is it a bad thing? Didn't say that. I said, don't put your faith in it. You better have a higher insurance policy called the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
To let you see by the Spirit of those things that are in a corrective mode to those things that need to be corrected into you. Did you know we've been programmed to believe that when certain words are spoken, we give up? You just roll them and play dead. There's certain forms of cancer that we already buy the funeral plot the minute it's spoken over us. Now, am I kidding? I'm not kidding you. You need to decide whether your health is based on a doctor or where it's based on the supreme physician. You need to based on whether your financial picture is based on the financial picture around you or one that owns the cattle on a thousand hills and the hills.
Yeah.
Anti-faith says, I need to seek others' helps. God might not be interested right at this particular time. Now, how many of you go to prayer with the thought in mind that God needs to be awakened and I need to remind Him? Now really, come on, you've heard people pray. Let's don't even look at you. You've heard people pray. How many of you would decide that that prayer was based on maybe God didn't know we were right here right now? I need to kind of shake Him. That lazy boy got too comfortable for Him. God just might not be omniscient and omnipresent. So I need to focus His attention this way. Faith in any source causes God to be jealous. Any source besides Him, God becomes a jealous God. That's Scripture.
Yes.
Causes Him discomfort. How many of you have ever been jealous over anything? You know that's uncomfortable.
Yes.
So when God says, I'm a jealous God, you need to determine what makes Him jealous, because when He gets uncomfortable, you're going to get uncomfortable. Faith requires a yielding to God only, no other. When I was in, let me determine which hospital bed. When I was in the hospital bed where the doctor walked in and said, your back is broken. I said, no, it's not. She said, but I have the x-rays. But I have God. Let's see which one wins. She got mad at me because she knew that she knew more than I did. But she didn't comprehend the fact that I knew the one that knows all things.
Yes.
It's not a matter of what I know, it's who I know. And so she said, well, I'll tell you what, I'm not going to argue. It's the middle of the night. And she said, I'm not going to argue with you. I'll just see you in the morning. I'm not going anywhere. You got me pinned to this thing. I can't even turn over. So next morning she comes in and she said, you know something? I went to that x-ray. And where that break was, I put a circle around it. And this morning, the break's not there. Circle is, but the break's not there. She didn't say, can I hear about your God? She was stupid. The reason she was stupid is she'd been dumbized. She'd been dumbed down by a title and study
yes.
in something that's not as high as the one I know.
Yes.
Amen.
Anything wrong with the doctor? Absolutely not. Except they're just limited in their understanding. If they would seek medical learning right under God learning, well, we really would have something.
Yes, sir.
She said, well, I don't care. I don't care if your back's broken or not. I do. By the way, I got some news for you. No doctor cares. No doctor cares. They care about the bill being paid. Your banker doesn't care. They worry about the bill being paid. Your auto mechanic doesn't care. They worry about the bill being paid. That's all. They're not worried about you. You need to understand this. There's only one that worries about you, and he doesn't worry.
That's right. Yes. Amen.
Faith requires a yielding to God only, no other. Faith/truth will set you free. Anything else will put you in bondage.
That's right. That's right.
Simplest common denominator. If you put your faith in anything else, you'll walk right into bondage. Y'all still love me, right?
Amen.
You do not love me, then you got to not love God because God told me to do this. Your job is not to process or analyze truth. Faith is receiving and acting on truth, even if you don't have the understanding.
Yes.
Right.
Anybody ever heard a kid told this? I didn't ask you. Get in the car. Don't argue with me. I know what I'm doing. In case you haven't done it, I have. You tell your kid to do something, you're not asking for a vote.
That's right.
I just expect obedience. And if I don't get obedience, the next thing is persuasion.
Yes. Yes.
And we're not going to 1, 2, 3 it. We're not going to discuss it. Whatever I said is going to happen. Now, that's what the Father's trying to tell you this morning.
Yes. Man. Yes.
Will he put something on your backside? No, he doesn't have to. The world is designed where it takes care of its own.
Yep.
Are you hearing me? The Father of this earth, this world, is out to kill, steal, and destroy, and he will do that to you if you don't get into faith. The things of this earth are fathered by the things of this earth.
Yes.
Those of the birth of the Spirit, they're motivated, guarded, moved.
Yes.
Protected by the Spirit.
Yes.
Man.
Considering other sources causes you to turn your back on truth, and then you will live in doubt and unbelief.
Yes. Yes.
Is there any other choice? No! There's no gray area. Let your yeas be yeas, and your nays be nays, and I didn't make that one up.
That's right.
But you don't know me and my background. I don't want to. I want to know God. I'm recommending you know God so you don't know your background.
Amen.
Your history, your problems, your provisions. Yes. I don't want to know them.
Yes.
That's called coming into the unity of the faith so we can all grow. Amen. Here's a real important one for you need to remember. Faith requires you to live far beyond the world's understanding.
Amen.
Listen to me carefully. Faith requires you to live above what you can figure out. It requires you to live above what anybody else can figure out.
That's right.
Faith causes you to speak the future into existence God's way.
That's right.
Doubt says you have no control.
That's right.
Faith causes you to understand that God, our good, is your future.
Yes.
I could stop there. It's enough. I won't. Could you understand something? Would you understand something with me? Your future is God.
Yes.
And there's nothing bad in God.
Right. Amen.
That's my decision. My future is God. You don't determine my future. You will not recommend my future. You will not direct my future. My future is God. What does that mean? Don't have the slightest idea. But I know it means good.
Yes.
I don't know where it goes, where it takes me. I don't know. But it's good.
Yes.
Well, it don't feel so good. Shut your doubtful mouth. It's good.
Yeah.
It's good. It's good. Y'all don't believe that. Why don't y'all just say that? It's good.
It's good.
Now see, doesn't that feel better if you'll just say it's good?
Yeah.
That's right. Faith will persuade you of God's truth.
That's right.
Did you know that? See, it's not all up to you. Faith, the minute you start moving into faith, God will persuade you of greater faith. Because it pleases Him.
Yes.
Trusting God and His plans is faith. Trusting in self and others is unbelief. Believing that God needs men to heal and provide is unbelief. Believing that I walk in health and provision is faith in a good, wise God. Now listen, if God uses man to help you in any way, it is still, I am healed, I am cared for by God.
Yeah, that's right.
I will never acknowledge that my help comes from anywhere but the Lord.
Amen.
That's right.
Test me. I dare you. Give me $1 million. Try me. I'll thank God. I know you won't do that today, but last week you could have walked up and said, I compliment you on the message. And I said, you would have heard me say every time, praise God. I just don't hear men say that very often. You pay a bill or you give them a compliment, they say thank you instead of praise God. Faith requires that we seek God first in all things. Requires that we seek God first in all things and that we put God above all things.
Yes, amen.
The Bible says that Jesus heals, provides, cares. None other is ever mentioned in a good light.
Right.
Do I need to get specific in that area? Woman spent all her entire money over all those years. Never got any help. Went and touched Jesus one time and she didn't need a physician anymore. That's the light that it's presented in.
Yeah. Yes.
Bible tells you over and over. You can seek fame, fortune. You can seek anything in the world. But the minute you touch the hem of His garment, everything is okay.
That's right.
You understand what I just said? God, His ways, His provisions are always put in good light in the Bible. Why? Because it's truth. Anything else is in a bad light. Faith is seeing and understanding God's way. Voting or having another opinion is unbelief. According to the Word, I got a question for you. First time you're allowed to input. According to the Word, at what stage in life are God's promises of no effect? Menopause? 75? 65. 3. 5. Bald. Overweight. Poor. Rich. In what stage in your life are God's words of no effect? Born again. I don't have to worry about it anymore. Come on. That means in your life, and you believe in everybody else's life, God's words are always in effect. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes. Amen. Amen.
One word from God will cause your faith to soar. One word from man can cause your faith to fail.
That's right.
No man, no word from a man ever changed my future.
That's right.
Forget all this nonsensical teachings about family curses, about somebody putting a curse over you, about these words being spoken over you. You have been deceived. Because what you are saying is those words are more effective than the words of God. And the only way to make the words of God no effect in your life is to receive the words of a man.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
That's a good statement.
Yes, sir.
My supreme physician, my excellent banker, paid his life for my well-being. What did yours pay? Do I need to say that again? My physician, my banker, my advisor makes house calls and pays for them. What's yours do? How does yours operate? Mine cared so much for my health, my wealth, my well-being, my mentality, my wife, my everything. He gave his life so that I could walk in that kind of abundance. What gall do people have spitting at that? They want to crucify Jesus afresh. Makes me mad. You don't have the right. You have the right to go to hell, so I need to say that. I need to stop saying that. You do have the right, but you don't have the right in my presence because I'm going to get mad for the word.
Amen.
I've got a friend that comes to my side any place, any time, and paid to do it.
Yes.
And then I'm seeking other words from other friends. What an idiot I might be sometimes. God forgive me for ever considering anything but the word and the promise.
Amen.
My blood pressure can go back down now. I never get a bill for my guy's services. Well, what about yours? In fact, he not only blesses me, he tips me. He not only comes to my side, he pays me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen.
I don't know how to tell you about a better relationship than that one with Christ Jesus, Him crucified, and my believing in that. And I don't know why myself, my friends, my enemies consider any other source than God.
Amen.
It's such a profitable thing. You listen to me carefully. You believing above any man's words is such a profitable thing, I don't know why you consider anything else.
Yes.
I don't care what your bank account says. I don't care what the economy says. And I don't care what the doctor says. I don't care what the lawyer or the Indian chief says. I don't care. Because I know what God says.
Yes. Yes.
It's the only thing that counts. The only thing that counts. The only thing that counts. And this is my finish. Proverbs 3, 5 through 12 says this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do you know what all your heart means? There's not room for anything else.
Amen.
Lean not to your own understanding. Even when you think you're absolutely right, give one provision that you might be wrong and God might be right. Just that one thing. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct your paths. Listen to this. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. So the way you depart from evil is fear the Lord. It will be health to your flesh. It'll be strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions. Did you know that you are a possession of God? Honor Him. And with the first fruits of your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Anybody here need some new wine? My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest His correction. For whom the Lord loves, He corrects. Whom the Lord loves, He corrects. God, correct me. You need to say that today. God, correct me. I love God. I want Him to love me back. Just as a father, the son in whom He delights. For whom the Lord loves, He corrects. I skipped a little bit. Let me go back. Do not detest correction. For whom the Lord loves, He corrects. Just as a father in whom He delights. Here again. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. How many of you want to have everlasting life? How many of you want to not perish in any part of your life? In any part of your life. Then all you got to do is believe. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. And let me say this. I don't care how crippled you are. Look at me, Deborah. I don't care how crippled you are. It's not a matter of where you start. It's a matter of where you finish.
Yes.
And it's not finished till God says it's finished.
Yes.
I don't care how young you are. I don't care how stupid you are. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how broke you are or rich you are. It doesn't make any difference. I love the Lord so much because He died for me.
Right.
And everything He acquired in that death, burial, and resurrection, He turned it right over to me. So I walk in His death, burial, and resurrection. I said I walk in His death, burial, and resurrection.
Yes. Yes.
Not just His death and His burial. Too many Christians want to stay in the death. You forget. That's where all that crap was taken and destroyed. Now that we've taken and destroyed it, let's get into the resurrection. That means I walk where God walks. Does God walk in poverty?
No.
Does He walk in sickness? Discomfort.
Nope.
I get so mad at this physical body sometimes. I'll sit in one place for a while, and when I get up, it feels like everything's set up. But I'm not going to say woe is me, because my health and my longevity is still based in God.
Yes.
Not my feelings. Not my feelings. Not my feelings. Look at this. What do you see? What did you see yesterday? See, this is... I know that you're not impressed. Maybe Patrick might if he could see that. You see that? That's nothing. Yesterday I was welding and a big blob of metal fell right on the tip end of my finger. Burned a hole in there you wouldn't believe. I don't mean just wide. It was deep. Pulled it off, showed them. I think they kind of went... Okay. Do I have a healer? Do I have a healer? Look at that. Look at that. You should have seen that yesterday. It was gross. It was gross.
Thank you, Lord.
I have a God. You know what? He cares for me. When I wasn't even talking to Him, He cares for me. When I didn't know this was coming, He did, and He took care of it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but I have a good God.
Yeah.
I have a good God. And I got news for you. He has never, ever failed me.
That's
not
right.
One time.
Amen.
Have I ever failed him? Those are the dark areas that I want the light to drive out. Because the answer is yes. I've doubted him. Anybody here can say that? I have doubted him in times past. My intention in front of you, in front of God, is to never doubt him again.
Yeah.
Will that happen? Probably not, but I'm going to die trying.
Amen.
And you guys know me, when I set my head to something, you're not changing my mind.
That's right.
Dad used to say the devil and Tom Walker couldn't change my mind. I never knew who Tom Walker was, but he must have been a bad guy. Praise the Lord. Let me ask you something. For those of you that think that this was a personal attack in any way, you'll have to get over that because it wasn't. There's one more thing you need to trust God with. But for those of you that received a little oomph, how about you raise your hand this morning? It causes your spirit or your power or your authority to soar just a bit.
Yes.
That's what God... See, that's what the chastening of God does.
Yes.
Why it says don't fear chastening is because chastening, when God does it, empowers you, strengthens you, and encourages you. I can't ever... I bet you one of my kids, they've talked about one of the whippings I gave them, they would not say that about me. That it empowered me and encouraged me. But you see, God knows how. They could say it directed me, but that's... Y'all stand with me this morning. Once again, I want you to be honest to God, not to me. And once again, if you want God to move you forward in faith, raise your hand. If you want God to move you forward in faith, raise your hand. Listen to me. I don't care if I see you. God sees you. And so God so loved the whole world that He gave His only begotten Son, that everybody in here that raised their hand will not perish but have everlasting life. Amen? It's not my words, it's God. So
yes.
Just say amen to Him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Gene, you know when to move. Y'all may not know this, but she knows exactly when to move. She doesn't have a copy of my notes. She knows exactly when the Holy Spirit says, get up there, Gene. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you do something for me quietly? Don't answer, don't say anything. Can you allow the Holy Spirit to point out a place in your life right now where He wants to move? It may not be bad. It may be a place that you already think you're operating good in, but He wants to push you further. It could be one of those areas of darkness where more light needs to come in. Whatever it is, it may be those places of a weak testimony. You need a strong testimony. Would you just quietly, don't open up your mouth, just in your spirit say, God, help me. Help my faith. Help my faith. Hallelujah. I pray that to you openly now, Lord, admitting to you in Jesus' name and under His blood that I have failed you and I have not pleased you in some areas. And now I want your help and your guidance and your correction to straighten those areas for your kingdom, for your honor, and for your glory. I say these things, Lord. Use me. Use me mightily for you. And I will forever be appreciative. You're a good God. You're worthy of my life. You're worthy of my loyalty and my allegiance. You're worthy of all things except correction. You don't need to be corrected. You don't need to be instructed. Teach us to pray, Father. Teach us to drop the instructional words out of our mouth, the corrective words out of our mouth, and let that be praise in our prayers. Praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Okay. Are all hearts clear? All hearts clear? Mine is. I could even take a nap now. How many of you are willing to let God disturb your sleep? Good. Good. Okay. All hearts are clear. I've appreciated you listening to me. I've really appreciated you listening to the Holy Spirit. More important than me, I pray to God that whatever's dealing with, whatever thing that the Holy Spirit's dealing with Deborah right now, He won't quit until He raises her up to the to the strength and the attitude of His design.
Yes.
Now stand with her in the tears.
Yes.
They're good. They're good. They're good. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, seal this message. Seal Your message into their hearts today. Let the things that I've spoken drop to the ground. Let the things that came from Your heart seal and bind us into the Word and into faith. God, I speak into this church and this body growth that's phenomenal. In size, in stature, strength, and in power. That this body will feel like never before. That You reside here. And that those people that enter in here will be touched and changed forever. And therefore this community and this city and this nation will be touched and changed forever. Let us begin to think far beyond our boundaries for Your sake. That You want to use us because we're that special to You. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Heal, save, and deliver. We know You're going to do that, and You're doing it because that's all You know how to do. So we receive that from You in thanksgiving and with thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. You are the air I breathe. Praise You, Lord. You're the song that I sing. You're the breath that I take, Lord. Your holy presence living in me, Lord. Living in me. Hallelujah. I'm desperate for You, Lord. I'm desperate for You, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If I become desperate for Him, all other desperation goes away.
Yes.
Did you hear me, wife? If we're desperate for Him, all other desperation goes away. Did you hear me, body? Hallelujah. Praise You, Lord. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him, what He stands for, or what He has done, will never, ever, ever perish, but have everlasting life. Stop thinking about hell. Think about tomorrow.
Yeah.
No more perishing. By the Spirit and in your spirit, let this reside. I will never perish in anything again. Walk in victory. Walk in faith. And if you agree with what's been done here this morning, say amen.
Yeah.
Y'all be blessed. Be dismissed. See you tonight.